In murder cases, the presence of a body is crucial evidence. Without it, investigators rely on indirect or circumstantial evidence instead. If a body hasn't been found, there's an uncertainty. Is the victim dead or alive? This makes finding even small remains like a bone fragment extremely important for conclusively proving a murder. An unusual case from February 4th, 2015, in a remote village in Hwaseong, Gyeonggi Province, demonstrates this. Here, murder charges were filed based on evidence suggesting death, despite no body being found. This case was particularly shocking. The killer used a method not seen before, getting rid of the body completely with a meat cutter, a disturbing and unprecedented approach. Let's dive right in. Mrs. Park, a 66-year-old widow who had been on her own since her husband passed away 5 months earlier, lived by herself. On February 5th, 2015, a friend from church who was supposed to accompany her to the hospital found Mrs. Park's home oddly quiet. The dining table had cold hotdog, which is Korean pancakes, and rice that was washed but never cooked. No sign of Mrs. Park anywhere. Known for her punctuality, Mrs. Park had lived in the same neighborhood for over 40 years and never missed her daily 5 a.m. church visit. It was very much unlike her to miss an appointment or a church service without letting anyone know. Worried, her son asked around about her and eventually reported her missing to the police. CCTV footage showed Mrs. Park getting off a bus at 8:20 p.m. on February 4th, likely heading home. This suggested her house was the last place she'd been. Mr. Kim, who had rented a part of Mrs. Park's property for 15 years, was questioned about her disappearance. His response was defensive and unhelpful, which was strange. On February 8th, the situation escalated when Mr. Kim actively interfered with the police's efforts to inspect Mrs. Park's house, especially the area he rented. His behavior became even more suspicious the next day when a fire, suspected to be arson, broke out in the part of the house where Mr. Kim lived. The police, who hadn't initially suspected Mr. Kim, were puzzled by his lack of reaction when his home of 15 years was destroyed in the fire, making them more suspicious of him. When asked, he calmly said, "I left the heater on to dry some clothes." That must have caused the fire, showing a surprisingly helpful attitude for the first time since the incident began. The next day, the Hwaseong Eastern Police Station in Gyeonggi moved Mrs. Park's case from the Women and Juveniles Investigation Team to the Violent Crime Unit. This was a big shift, turning it from a missing persons case into a murder investigation, with Mr. Kim as the prime suspect. Forensic analysis, including 6 examinations and reenactments, concluded that the fire was deliberately set with inflammable materials. CCTV showed Mr. Kim leaving his house around 2:45 p.m. on the 9th, and the fire broke out just 2 minutes later. On February 12, the police arrested Mr. Kim on arson charges, also trying to link him to Mrs. Park's presumed murder. He strongly denied everything, insisting he had neither killed Mrs. Park nor started the fire, showing incredible confidence during questioning. Without a body or a clear murder weapon, there wasn't an obvious reason for Mr. Kim to just confess. So the focus turned to tracking down Mrs. Park's and Mr. Kim's movements, leading to a major operation with 6 violent crime teams combing through all available local CCTV footage. There were no signs of Mrs. Park using a taxi or a rental car. Black box footage confirmed she got off her regular church bus and headed straight home, the last place she was seen. Additionally, CCTV at the alley entrance leading to Mrs. Park's home showed Mr. Kim driving his white truck there, arriving an hour before she did. The next day, at around 9 a.m., Mr. Kim's truck was seen on CCTV again. This time, he was heading to a factory about 30 minutes away with something that looked like a box in the back seat. When he left the factory, the box was no longer there. The youngest detective on the case noticed this box, a detail that was easy to miss in the grainy CCTV footage. They got hold of more CCTV footage from the factory Mr. Kim visited. At about 9:40 a.m., Mr. Kim was seen taking a machine out of the box in the trunk and going inside the factory, coming out later with nothing in his hands. This machine, a meat cutter, about 60 centimeters tall and weighing 40 kilograms, typically used in butcheries, didn't seem related to Mr. Kim's job as a day laborer. The detectives began to suspect it might be connected to the crime, preparing themselves to unravel a deeply disturbing case. Despite Mr. Kim's denials, evidence linked to Mrs. Park was found in several places. Luminol, a substance used to detect blood, was sprayed in the truck's back seat where the box had been. Two spots lit up blue, which forensic analysis confirmed as Mrs. Park's DNA. Even more compelling, Mrs. Park's DNA was found in the factory where Mr. Kim had left the meat cutter, both on the spot where the machine was placed, and, shockingly, on a wooden log he claimed to have used to test the cutter. Before the police could catch up with him, Mr. Kim went back to the factory at night and took the meat cutter, leaving its whereabouts unknown. Remaining firm in his denial, Mr. Kim's next steps were quite predictable. On the night, on February 10, he retrieved the meat cutter and drove to Seoul around 1:30 a.m. 6 hours later, he was back in Hwaseong, but without the meat cutter. Considering his route through Cheonggye IC, the police speculated he may have disposed of the meat cutter somewhere in Uiwang or Suwon, cities located between Hwaseong and Seoul. The detectives followed Mr. Kim's trail, walking along the national highway and reviewing CCTV footage. In one such footage from a farm in Uiwang, they spotted a truck, believed to be Mr. Kim's, parked in the dark. During their search, they came across a 165 centimeters long bandsaw, seemingly part of the meat cutter. Astonishingly, even 2 weeks after the incident, Mrs. Park's blood and DNA were clearly found on it. However, the absence of Mrs. Park's body meant this evidence alone couldn't definitively prove Mr. Kim's guilt in her murder. A body was essential to clearly demonstrate that the bandsaw was used in her death. Nevertheless, the trail of evidence was compelling. After leaving the factory with a meat cutter, Mr. Kim drove to an embankment road near Hwanguji Stream around 12:50 p.m., then appeared on CCTV about 5 kilometers away at around 3:40 p.m. He spent nearly 3 hours to travel a distance that should have taken just 6 minutes. Investigator Kim Kyung-yeon surmised that the box in the back seat, which vanished after Mr. Kim left the embankment, likely held Mrs. Park's remains. Despite an extensive search involving thousands of people in the area where Mr. Kim presumably disposed of the body, it was never found. Reviewing more CCTV footage, the police couldn't find any scenes of Mr. Kim disposing of the main part of the meat cutter. This led detectives to consider that, after getting rid of the bandsaw, the cutter was just a piece of scrap. Focusing on this angle, they searched scrap yards in Suwon City, where they thought Mr. Kim might have dumped it. At one scrap yard, just as the owner was about to dismantle a familiar white machine, the detectives intervened. The owner explained it was left at the door, so after waiting about 10 days, I was going to dispose of it. One detective remarked later that it was miraculous how the machine remained at the scrapyard for 13 days and was found by police just as it was being dismantled. The forensic analysis of the found meat cutter was shockingly revealing. It didn't just have blood stains, which you'd expect in a dismemberment case, but also muscle, bone, fat, skin, hair, and nervous tissue, all matching Mrs. Pak's DNA. In total, about 90 pieces of biological evidence were found. With no other way to explain how Mrs. Pak was dismembered using a meat cutter, the police charged Mr. Kim with murder and hiding a body on June 8th after a detailed 3-month investigation. This was while he was already facing arson charges. Throughout the questioning, Mr. Kim stayed silent, never explaining why he might have killed Mrs. Pak. The police pieced together a possible motive from the clues. Mr. Kim, found to have gerontophilia-related materials, had shown interest in Mrs. Pak, becoming more expressive after her husband died. Initially, Mrs. Pak was amicable towards him, but her attitude changed to caution and distance. Their frequent phone calls, as many as 29 in a single month, stopped abruptly after January 17, 2015. When Mrs. Pak received a sizable land compensation in late January, Mr. Kim asked her for a loan. After she refused and told him to leave the property, investigators believe he decided to murder her. They found that just before the crime, Mr. Kim had downloaded anatomy diagrams and watched documentaries about dissection. He also searched for terms like meat mincing and feeding crows. Significantly, he bought the meat cutter used in the crime online just 4 days before the murder, suggesting it was premeditated. Mr. Kim maintained throughout the trial that the cutter was for woodworking and claimed all the evidence was merely circumstantial. Kwon Hee-ryong, a profiler, labeled Mr. Kim as one of the most challenging suspects he'd encountered, noting that Mr. Kim remained silent for over 20 minutes during interrogation, much longer than most psychopaths who usually start talking within 15 minutes. Detective Kim Kyung-yeon noted that throughout the investigation, Mr. Kim was unfazed, eerily saying, "When the time comes, I'll tell you first." This hinted that there might be more to his story than he was letting on. Amid his consistent denials and lack of remorse, given the shocking nature of Mr. Kim's crime, the Suwon District Court's 15th Criminal Division, led by presiding judge Yang Chul-han, sentenced him to life in prison in February 2016. The sentence emphasized the need for his permanent removal from society. The court took the indirect evidence seriously, despite the absence of Mrs. Pak's body. It was significant that Mr. Kim was in the annex near the main house around the time Mrs. Pak presumably died. Bloodstains found in the annex and the truck, especially where the fire had erupted shortly before the forensic examination, were crucial pieces of evidence. Moreover, the discovery of Mrs. Pak's blood, fat, and skin on the meat cutter, bought just 4 days before the murder and later found discarded, was seen as definitive proof of the murder. Mr. Kim challenged the verdicts in both the first and second trials, but on December 29th, the Supreme Court confirmed his life sentence. He is now serving that sentence. This case could have remained unsolved, but was diligently pursued by detectives as if they were looking for their own missing family member. They uncovered a horrific crime where the body was not just dismembered, but ground up. In the pursuit of justice, this case reminds us that the truth often finds a way to surface, even in the most challenging circumstances. The law and investigative persistence have ways to bring even the most hidden truths to light. At this moment, our thoughts and deepest condolences go out to Mrs. Pak and her loved ones. She met an undeserved and tragic fate, and it is our sincere hope that she rests in peace and that her family finds some solace in the closure brought by the pursuit of justice. That is all for today. Thanks for watching.